Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Football. Nice. That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Are you a big man? Pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you start, put on my big boy pants. You put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan.
I want it all. Money, fast cars, diamond rings, gold chains, and champagne. It's never damn thing. I want it all. Houses, expenses, my own business, a truck, and a couple of bins. I want it all.
Hey, let's do this. Hour number two on a Friday. Thanks for being with us here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Tiger's got it going, but he's in some trouble on number six, par three. Yeah, this is the hole that Finau ended in the water. You can see there the hazard on the right. Finau had seven birdies, a triple bogey, a bogey number nine. So didn't quite get his birdie there on nine to finish with the 30. But still, hell of a front nine considering a triple bogey to par three. Not a great way to handle a par three. The NBA schedule has been released. We'll break that down for you here at some point in the second hour. What do we make of it? I did see from Ben Golliver, it's the fewest back-to-backs ever in the NBA schedule. So they're still trying to space that stuff out for people. Tyson Alger is going to join us coming up in about 12 minutes from now. He's down at Oregon practice today and has been obviously all fall. They got their first scrimmage of the fall coming up on Sunday. So kind of a big weekend for Oregon. That's always a big one to see where guys are at. And he's got some notes on health, practice, guys returning, who's looking good, all that stuff. We'll talk to Tyson coming up in 12 minutes. I do want to start here, though, changing gears a little bit. I had something else penciled in, but this just has piqued my interest most of the morning. How do Oregon State fans feel about their logo? I know you're okay. You probably don't hate it.
No.
But is there a desire for a better logo to get rid of the rebeeve?
I guess it'd be something. I'd have to see somebody come up with something.
Okay. What about?
I mean, it's not, you know, we're the Beavers.
Right.
So, yeah.
What about, because Oregon State football tweeted this out this morning, October 20th, I don't know, who do they play on October 20th? We'll have to look at the schedule.
Let me grab it.
But on October 20th, I don't know if they're doing a full retro uniform, but they have teased on Twitter that Retro Benny returns to the helmet on October 20th. And they have if you want to go check this, it's at Beaver Football on Twitter. And
the Cal Bears.
So they're playing Cal. So I'm hoping this is a full retro uniform. I love when teams do that. Oregon did that, you know,
get
a couple of times.
Get the giant killer uniforms out.
Yeah, break it. Yeah, hell, even go like 1990s, you know, with the those were good looks.
No, the bibs were horrible.
No, not the like the brassieres, not those looks. I'm thinking like Ken Simonton jerseys.
Okay.
You're just simple all black Jonathan Smith jerseys, you know. But they're bringing and it's the old school Benny. Not the like beef.
Yeah,
it's the
we loved Benny.
Old school Benny with the OSU top hat.
Absolutely.
Is that something I don't know how this works for schools and how often they can change things around. They need to de-beef. I think this
I don't
is
know. It
such
wasn't
a better
that
look.
Long ago that they put all the time, Nike put in all the time and effort to rebrand it.
And you say, hey, thanks for your effort, but we're going back to our old. We did it for, it has to be at least 4 or 5 years at this point. It's been a while now.
Yeah.
Because I remember doing a show that night when that logo came out. They had the big unveiling, and it was a whole thing.
Well, I think they, first of all, need to... Jonathan Smith's got a lot more things to worry about than that right now.
Right. So oh, no, he does, yeah.
I think you want to hold that off until maybe you start to get the momentum going in the other direction.
Yeah.
And you
change it up.
Get a little hype. you know, you build, you get some recruiting classes in, maybe in a year or two, you get a big upset. Maybe you win a civil war, you scare USC or somebody like that. You can get 6 wins and get back to the Vegas Bowl or something and show everybody you're going in the right direction. And then
you change it out
of there.
Over
the top with it.
You get a whole new look going on.
Because for the time being, I don't think it really matters other than...
Oh, no, it does.
Other than if it helps you recruit or not. If
yeah.
You know, kids think, you know, if the recruits think it's weird or looks funny, okay, fine.
When somebody said, don't worry about your duck uni combos. Hey, I'm not, I can't have a thought. I can't have a thought on the Beaver logo because the Ducks wear crazy uniforms. The Ducks have done this from time to time. They've tried stuff that didn't work, and they bailed on it.
I want the basketball team to go back to the old Ralph Miller look that just was OSU right there.
It was just a simple OSU across the front. Yeah. You know what Oregon State team does it the best is their baseball team.
Baseball looks great.
Their baseball unis are clean. They're on point.
Yep.
Oregon needs to take a page out of their baseball unis. We've copied them just by getting a baseball program to begin with. Copy the uniforms too, because they got a good look right there. And it's just, look, the Nutria is not terrible.
Easy.
It looks like a Nutria. It doesn't look like a beaver. They need to go back. That's all I'm saying. That's my hot take of the day. They need to go back to the old Benny days. And if you want to see the old Benny uniforms, October 20th, they're going to be wearing them. And I'm hoping it's a whole top-to-bottom kind of thing. Wear the old Jonathan Smith unis from the 90s, the old Steven Jackson uniforms. A good, clean look, man. I was on board with those. So go check that out on Twitter if you want. Beaver Football tweeted it out. I remember when Oregon did that. I want to say the first time they busted out those throwbacks was like 2009. I want to say, I think it was a Masoli, and I remember Cal was in town, and they wore the old UO on the side of the helmet, and it was the old shade of green, not the new kind of forest darker green that they had wore for a long time, and I loved it. It was a good look. Then they did it the next year against Washington, and it just was kind of cool to see the teams playing with the throwback uniforms, and I actually had that. Because for a while there, Oregon and Oregon State in the Civil War did like the color rush thing where it would be like green versus orange. And it felt a little much at times, like just too new age college football. And I always thought they should go the opposite direction on those. Like just flip it back and every year in the Civil War, wear a throwback. Because Oregon State's done that a couple of times in the Civil War. I remember they wore the Giant Killer uniforms, I want to say in 2010 when Oregon was trying to make it to the national title game. I think they wore the Giant Killer unis in those. But that was just the black helmet with the white stripe down the middle of it, no logo on it or anything. So, yeah, they did wear it, as the listener points out, Better You Today text line. They did wear them in the 09 Civil War, too. Those were nice. So, Oregon State on October 20th, they're repping the old Benny the Beaver. He's coming back, and they tweeted it out. The helmet looks clean, man. Black helmet, Benny the Beaver, OSU top hat, retro helmets. I say DB, bring those things back permanently. I'm all board with that. The NBA schedule is out. And we have a couple of highlights here. I want to get to the Blazers. This is from Casey Holdall, who tweeted this out as the Blazers have officially tweeted out their schedule. The Blazers will travel 54,333 miles this season, which is fewer than last year, Casey points out, but still the most in the NBA. So you're still going to have the worst travel time in the association this year. And the Blazers actually did a pretty funny Oregon Trail tweet for this, kind of breaking down the schedule and what it looks like. So no 4 games in 5 nights again. The NBA is done. So that's a big thing they listened to with the players. Wanted to give them more rest and recovery time. And that's why, remember, they moved the start. Did that start last year? They moved up the schedule. I think last year official year they did it.
Yep.
So no longer Halloween. They moved it up a couple of weeks. And the Blazers' home opener this year, their opener is the 18th. So you can see how much further it's moved up. Back-to-back, as I mentioned, they are at a historic low, average about 13.3 per team this season, and it was 19.3 in 2014. So in the last 3 or 4 years, they've cut down 6 back-to-back games for teams. It was 14.5 last year. So even from last year to this year, they've cut down on the back-to-back schedule for teams, which is good. That's good for everybody. Give them a night off in between. And then the other note, I saw this from Shams. He tweeted this out. They have eliminated the 8 games in 12 nights stretch for the first time with the schedule. So you are no longer going to play 8 games in 12 nights on the NBA schedule. So I like that one. There's only one instance of a 5 games in 7 night per team. I saw somebody had that. So they're really kind of balancing this thing out for squads. And we have not had a chance. Have you dove in yet to the Blazers schedule? Have you had a chance to look at this thing from top to bottom yet?
I'm trying to find where it's all put in, okay, you know, like a list form.
Okay.
I haven't seen them, the whole thing's posted on sites yet. So we are searching. I do not have a press release yet from the Trailblazers either.
Okay.
So I don't know if they've got to wait until the NBA TV's got to go through their little dog and pony show first before they can put everything out.
Break the whole thing. Yeah.
So, yeah. As soon as we get some things, we'll let you know.
All right. One last note from Holdall. He had this. The upcoming schedule also sees the return of no travel back-to-backs, which you've not had in a non-lockout year since 2013. So there's another schedule benefit for the Blazers. No travel back-to-backs for them. They haven't had that since 2013. So, yeah, decent NBA schedule tidbits coming out today. Everybody's circling, obviously, the return dates. I saw the return date for Kawhi Leonard going to San Antonio. Everybody's been tweeting about Kyrie, LeBron, and the Celtics-Lakers game. The first one is February 7th in Boston. So those kind of dates are starting to trickle out a little bit. And we'll let you know once we get a look at the Blazers schedule, take a look at it, and kind of pinpoint some tough stretches for them. That's out. NBA schedule release day. Catch the fever, everybody. Let's go down to Eugene, shall we? Tyson Auger, he covers the Ducks for The Athletic. Friend of the show. We've had him on a ton. And he's down at camp today. They just wrapped up practice. He's got some notes from what he saw this afternoon. First scrimmages on Sunday. What should we expect? And he wrote a story on Aaron Feld, their strength and conditioning coach. It's his birthday today, and it's a pretty good one. So what can you expect in that story? Tyson Auger of The Athletic, he's going to join us next on The Fam. Hey, welcome back in 117. Busy fall camp so far for the Oregon Ducks. They get ready their first scrimmage coming up on Sunday. They announced a home and home, if you want to call it that, against Boise State yesterday. Lots of good stuff going on with the Ducks. We thought we'd bring on Tyson Auger, our buddy. Covers the Ducks for The Athletic. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Tyson Auger. Tyson, what's up, man? How you doing today?
How's it going, guys? Just down here outside of the Eugene practice complex and enjoying the fact that it's about 84 degrees right now instead of the mid-90s that it had been for a while.
And not quite 95. That cools it off a little bit. I do want to start with a hard-hitting question for you, and we spent like the first half hour on the show on it today. Could you handle the 999 challenge, which is 9 beers, 9 hot dogs, and 9 innings?
Who? How many ounces?
A 16-ounce beer. You can choose whatever beer you want, and we're talking like normal, standard ballpark dog.
What's the temperature outside?
that's a variable we don't have the answer to.
Okay. I could not do the hot dogs part of that.
Okay.
But you
can handle the beers.
I could do a solid like 9 and 9.
Yeah.
I wouldn't come on the radio afterwards, but
maybe pull off like a 9.95 or something, you know?
Sure.
9.59. There you go. I like that. Let's talk about what you saw down there today. I see you were tweeting out some notes just kind of about injuries, running back position, wide receiver position. What was going on down there today at practice?
Yeah, you know, it's nothing substantial or different than you see in kind of the first 2 or 3 weeks of fall camp where guys are just a little bit banged up. You know, the Ducks, they were definitely reaching down into their depth with like a walk-on such as Nordahl getting into their reps today. You know, you have TBJ, Tony Brooks James and CJ Verdell and a couple other guys just a little bit nicked up and banged up, but nothing serious there. And I still expect that to be a really kind of fun race here over the next couple weeks to see just how those carries play out once the season starts, because you know, Tony Brooks James has been good in spurts over his career at Oregon, but CJ Verdell looks really good, and I'm excited to see what he does. At wide receiver, a little note, Tabari Hines, he was the graduate transfer from Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. He didn't really practice the first week. He's coming off a minor knee procedure. He's getting back on the field, not completely full go yet, but he's definitely coming along and getting in some kind of chemistry workout stuff with his teammates right now.
We're talking with Tyson Auger, The Athletic, covers the Ducks for The Athletic on Twitter, at Tyson Auger. What has been, I mean, you've been covering these now for a while, and this is the third head coach in the third year for Oregon. What is the biggest difference, I guess, you've seen? Just from the ins and outs of practice and getting a glimpse at the way they do things and the way they operate, what stood out the most to you?
It's very disciplined and it's very practical. And on the discipline side, I mean, I don't think there's a single coach in college football who's going to come out and say, we're not disciplined, we're not getting here on time and all that sort of stuff. But it really seems genuine from Cristobal and his staff, and the players have really bought in. And I've been really impressed with kind of like the, to steal a phrase, I think from the Helfrich era, the horizontal leadership. I had a piece on The Athletic today about how, freshmen aren't just going to play, they're getting all the responsibilities, even just little things like talking to the media. And the way Cristobal sees it is, if all these guys can contribute to the team, I want them to. I don't want any barriers that make them feel like they're a freshman. Everyone can be a leader. Everyone can take responsibility. That sort of stuff. And in terms of practical stuff, you can just talk about stuff they're doing in the weight room with Coach Feld. I mean, last year it was get strong, get strong, get strong, get strong, get strong. And this year it's get strong, but do it in ways that's going to help you out on the football field. It's not just getting yoked for the sake
right,
of it.
Right. Yeah, we're talking with Tyson Allgaier, The Athletic. You mentioned the newcomers being able to talk to the media, which is somewhat of a change of pace. What are some of those newcomers that have stood out to you? You mentioned Verdell. I think he redshirted last year, and he's shown out so far in camp. Who else has kind of shown that they have a chance to play a little bit here in their first year on campus?
You know, that's a good question. There's a lot of kind of redshirt freshmen in the mix. But as far as true freshmen, I mean, they have several absolutely behemoths on the offensive line. And Coach Cristobal has talked about how this is a year where, they'll probably cycle through guys on that line. I wouldn't be surprised to see Brian Addison get some playing time at wide receiver. The Ducks have obviously been thin there the last couple of years. He's not going to obviously unseat him for the starting position, but I really want to see Tyler Shuck throw the ball. He was a kid that I featured in that story and very fun to talk to. And he's looked good in practice so far, but I'm obviously not a coach. If I could accurately grade a quarterback, I'd probably be making a little bit more money. But he looks like he has all the tools. He's a big kid. He's got a strong arm. So I'm really interested to see how he plays in those kind of first three games of the season, where you probably will see him and Braxton Burmeister get some reps just because of the new NCAA rule that allows true freshmen to play in up to four games.
Yeah, that's a good point. But allowing them to play, that's get four games in for a freshman quarterback and you still hold on to that redshirt year. You know, one thing I'm curious to ask you about, and this has kind of been something we've discussed on the station now the last week or two, and some people are cautioning against it and some people are just diving headfirst in, and that's with just the expectations for the upcoming season. Just with the closer and closer we get to the start of the year, the higher and the higher the expectations continue to go. Do you think Oregon fan, and I know you hear from them probably more than I do with your stories and your tweets and that kind of stuff, do you fear that expectations are getting too high, or should they be high for this season?
I mean, it's fall camp. I mean, everyone's going to look at the schedule and project 10 to 11 wins. I think Oregon has a very fair expectations of a very fair chance of meeting expectations. Now, a lot has to go right. I think I've outlined that with you guys before, but the one thing I've kind of realized about this team is fans have the expectations, but I mean, this Oregon squad's not shy about saying that they want to win the Pac-12 title. I think a lot of them use the hashtag take the pack. They place a lot upon themselves too. I mean, it's, yes, they have a new coach and a lot of this is a new staff, but if you have a potential first round draft pick at quarterback, and if you have a defense that has improved like it did from year one to year two under Jim Leavitt, or from in that first year under Jim Leavitt, I think it's completely realistic that they think that they can hang at least with the Washingtons and Stanfords in this Pac-12 North, and looking down south, the USC's and Utah's and everything. I mean, Oregon's had a couple down years. Last year was a bit of a turnaround, and I completely expect this team as it stands right now is much better than the team was last year, and the schedule plays out well for them. So if I'm an Oregon fan, it's okay to get excited, but also keep in mind a lot of players on this team are young. Young players make errors from time to time, and a lot of times in these games, when they're close, one error can be the difference. So it's hard to project out, but the potential is definitely there.
Yeah, we're talking with Tyson Allgaier, The Athletic, on Twitter at Tyson Auger. Some news yesterday that came out, and it frustrated some because of their history against the team. But Oregon announces this three-game series against Boise State starting in a handful of years. They get two at Autzen, and they play at Boise one of the years. And the criticism that I've heard from some is, you know, why would you even schedule this? Like, what's the bonus of playing a Boise State? Do you agree with that? Does this count as a big non-conference win? What do you make of them scheduling those three games against Boise?
I mean, I don't think you can win. Not win against Boise State, but I mean, this year everyone's knocking them for having a terrible non-conference schedule, me included. I think that was my second piece on The Athletic, was talking about how just bad this non-conference schedule is. So, I mean, it's you kind of got to pick your poison. You want to have three really bland non-conference games and at the same time risk having a low strength of schedule if you are getting into the conversation of the playoff, or you want to take a risk and play a tough team early in the season and risk losing a game. I mean, if you go through Oregon's history, the Ducks have never really shied away from playing in big games. You know, they played LSU a few years ago. They had that big home and home series with Michigan State, Nebraska the last 2 years. Even though Nebraska, you know, isn't at its peak, that's still a big Power Five program. And you can project out even further. They have Ohio State coming up. They have Auburn coming up. You know, I think it's just turning heads because Boise State is Boise State and the Ducks haven't done well against Boise State. You can go back 10 years, you can go back 6 months. It hasn't been a great matchup for Oregon, but I mean, that's 6 years from now. Like who knows where either of those programs are at this point, but from our standpoint, I'm jazzed about it because that gives us something to talk about. And as a writer, it's a lot more, I enjoy my job a lot more going into a week where a team is playing a Boise State versus, yeah. You know, if they're playing a Bowling Green or a Portland State, no disrespect.
Yeah. What's the lead-in story in those? I'm with you on that one. We'll get you out on this one. You did write a story. I want to take some editorial credit for this because I thought this was a great idea and I've been wanting to know more about this guy. And I know he's making the media rounds and stuff now, but you wrote a piece about Aaron Feld, 45 things in honor of the 45-day challenge where he's filling the sleeves down there. What did we learn about the new strength and conditioning coach for the Ducks?
Yeah, he's quite the character down here. And, you know, I've been pretty impressed by his way to kind of market himself and the Oregon Ducks strength program. I mean, he's coaches are giving him credit left and right for the improvement they've seen in these players. And while I think some of what you see online is a little bit of a caricature, but it's based out of who he is. I mean, I was for the story, I talked to his wife, Brittany, who said, you know, he is a meathead. This is authentic. You know, this is what he enjoys doing. But, you know, this is also a very smart guy who is practical, as I mentioned earlier, with the way that he implements their weight program. He has boatloads of certifications. He has his master's degree. You know, he's a guy that has a mustache and he is, you know, it looks like your typical strength coach, but there's definitely a lot more to him than kind of meets the eye that you see online with him.
Yeah, it was fun to read. Go check it out. Subscribe to The Athletic. Tyson Auger of The Athletic. Give him a follow on Twitter at Tyson Auger. Thanks, man. We always appreciate the time, and let's try one of those 9-5-9 challenges here soon.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Take care.
There you go. Tyson Auger down in Eugene as Ducks wrapping up practice today. Their first scrimmage is coming up on Sunday, and that's going to be an interesting one to watch. That's a name. I'm glad he brought up that name at the running back position. C.J. Verdell is going to be a name that you keep an eye on. That was one that I kind of forgot about because he redshirted last year, but he's turning heads, and people are high on him in that running back battle. And then I also thought it was an interesting note, and watching how every coach handles it this year is going to be fascinating. And that's the new redshirt rule in college football, where you can play a guy in up to four games and still hold on to that redshirt for him. And I love that rule because especially when you look at the quarterback position, you know, a guy like Shuck, who's coming in as a highly touted kid, and maybe you want him to be your backup and you lose Herbert for two games, minor injury in the middle of the year, and you can roll the freshman out there. You can start two games for you and hold on to that redshirt. It's not that same fear. So I love that idea for college football. I think it's great, and the coaches should utilize it well. And that's one to watch, especially at the quarterback position down in Eugene this year. Where should we go from here? Let's give an update on the PGA Championship Day 2. Let you know where all the big names are at as some guys are starting to make the turn in the afternoon round, trying to finish up before the weather gets underway. How's Tony Finau doing after his wild front nine? It's been a lot of fun. Also, Dustin Johnson got it rolling today. What did he have to say after his round? Talk a little PGA Championship. We'll do it next. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, no, it's not the Wonder Years, but welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague, happy Friday. 1:35. Ready for a beer, only an hour and a half to go. Hour and a half. Hey, this might be a weird question to ask, but I'm getting some flack in the office for it, and I don't quite know why. Are there any guys out there that shave their armpit hair? Is that a thing for people?
Outside of competitive swimmers?
Outside of, yes, doing it sports-related. Needing it to be sleeker in the water? No. Like, just your normal dude. Is there anybody that shaves or cuts their armpit hair? Because I wear a cutoff shirt for softball. Got to let the guns out a little bit.
I was going to say, how did this become...
I know, I should set that up first before I ask the question.
Aware to the office in general.
Oh, by the way, we got some...
We got lightning. They've suspended play at Bell Reeves.
Seek shelter immediately. Run! They're not moving fast enough, people. Move!
Summertime thunderstorm in the Midwest is
fun.
Nothing to be trifled with.
I remember being at a Royals game a handful of years ago, and it was like your picture-perfect, beautiful evening. And by the seventh inning, the sky just opened and dumped about 14 gallons. It just... unbelievable amount of water, and everybody had to run, game canceled, postponed. It was crazy. Yeah, so we got a little slight delay in the PGA championship. No, so I wear a cutoff shirt for softball, let the guns out a little bit when I play, and it's hot. You know, it just feels comfortable. And one coworker, I'm going to call him out by name because he's the only one who's done it. Eric Samantel has commented multiple times on my armpit hair and the volume of my armpit hair and saying, you know, you should... Might want to think about cutting that stuff.
Trim that up, clean
and
that up.
It caught me off guard because I didn't know guys actually, I didn't know that was a thing outside of swimmers. So I get into the office today and I'm sitting, we got this big whiteboard. We do a whiteboard 30 most days on our Instagram page, 1080 The Fan. So I'm sitting there filling up the whiteboard of things to do and I'm writing stuff down. And Sierra, a sales gal, walks by. And she walks by, you know, hey, how you doing? She calls us Donkey. She, hey, Donkey, walks by. And then she stops and she turns around. She says, wait a minute. And she comes walking back to me.
Oh, boy.
And she says, hey, let me get a look at your armpit hair. And I'm like, wait, what, you my arm hair? And I didn't quite understand what she was saying. And she was genuinely curious to get a look at my armpit hair. She said, no, I heard it's really long. I heard you got like a lot of armpit hair. You need to trim it back a little bit. I said, wait a minute, what? This is like a topic of conversation in the office. So I showed her my armpit hair. Now she calls me Rapunzel in the armpits. But I don't feel like I have that much. It's not like a... I don't have dreadlocks coming out of my arms here.
We're not braiding it?
No, we're not braiding it. It's okay. Not that long. I feel like I have a normal amount of 30-year-old armpit hair. And I want to know if this is... Does anybody actually do that? I never knew that was a thing.
Look, I'm pushing 47. I've never taken a razor there, so.
right.
Rusty's in here. He says no.
No, right? Thank you. Yeah, Russ is a hairy dude, too. You're for sure hairier than I am. There's no way in hell. Yeah, oh, there you go. Nice shirt lift. All right. We're getting loose on a Friday. Let's go. I'm missing it. Somebody said manscape everything. Somebody said yes, and my three sons too. Hygiene, and it's easier to clean. Somebody said not a full-on shave, but a trim.
You hooked one. You've caught your limit. If you know, unless it's been brought up, who cares?
That's a very valid point. I can let myself... Well, no, not quite, because I got to get through the wedding looking like a decently competent human being.
Yeah, I would
say... Once I get through that...
The workout program for right. you for the next 12 to 16 months is going to be crucial.
Yeah, I know, and I'm diving in. That's
why
I started early.
If you can get a little bit slim and trim there and look good in the penguin suit, then she will be most happy. I don't think she's going to care necessarily what's hiding beneath... You know, the four layers of tuxedo that's coming.
Yeah. No, and that's why, you know, Spray gives me a hard time about starting this like jogging routine that I've been doing in the mornings. I've been jogging a lot lately, which just sucks. I hate running, but I know myself as the procrastinator that I am, that if I don't start exercising now, it's one of those things. It's like, oh, I got 2 years. I got plenty of time to get in shape.
No, and then you have to establish the routine, which is where I'm falling down horrifically right now.
Yeah, I'm screwed if I don't start now. I got to get way
ahead
of it.
I got to do this. I got to do this. And then 87 things come up, and you're like,
but he said, I shave mine once a month. We're here. This is a thing, apparently. People cut, shave their armpit hair.
Well, I don't know. Are you doing like Calvin Klein ads or?
Right.
We got the boys of the fan right, calendar shoot right? coming up. I don't know about.
Now.
Then, okay, I get it.
yeah, that's a really good point. When do I even ever, nobody ever even sees my armpits outside of when I wear a cutoff in softball. Outside of that, it's not like I'm walking around shirtless all the time. I'm not Sprague here.
Yeah, I mean, if you were wearing tank tops outside all the time, you know, then I might, if you're in the backyard there.
We know Sprague shaves his armpits though, right? Sprague's for sure trims his armpits.
See, I don't know how hairy a beast he really is.
He's not hairy, but he
I never got the sense that it was all over the place.
He's going to want to go hairless dog. That's like the route he's going in
he's
life.
He's going Mr. Bigglesworth.
He is. Yeah, he's going to have no eyebrows at some point. It's a whole look, man.
See, I'm fortunate because mine's blonde.
Yeah, so you can't really see. And mine is, too. I have a light-color armpit
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, as opposed to Rop.
Right, which is just a forest yeah. in there, right?
Yeah.
You can't even see the skin through that thing. It's a little too thick down there. Yeah, this threw me off. I didn't know. I never expected to come in and have a coworker say to me, hey, Dirt, show me your armpit hair. I was not expecting that this morning. It threw me off a little bit. I don't think I have that much armpit hair, but apparently I do. We did a poll question on this, by the way, at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We had some fun with our Coors Light poll questions today. And one of them we asked is, do you shave your armpit hair? And so far, about 250 votes into this thing, 17% of you say you do. 83% say, wait, what? No. 17% of you doing it. And I feel like the only people texting in are going to be the ones that actually shave their armpit hair. So I'm not going to overreact too much to the Better You Today text line and the responses that we've got so far. Yeah, it is very Portland, as somebody said. Very Portland.
See, I would think it'd be very Portland not to.
Oh, well, for chicks it is, yeah. For chicks, but valid point. Valid point.
I mean, you would think with some of the beards that you wander around seeing in the city, that if you're not shaving the outer stuff, you're certainly not going to take a blade anything under a shirt.
Yeah, I mean, manscaping needs to be done. But armpits, you got to draw the line somewhere. Somebody said, I'm not a woman, therefore I do not shave my armpit hair. Okay, there you go.
Plus, it's a little delicate in there.
It is. Well, and that was my thought, too, because he said he buzz cuts his armpit hair. Like, he does, like, a two. And it feels like it'd get itchy and prickly on the inside of that thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, poking you around a little bit when you put your arm down.
And
nobody wants that.
No.
Like, I feel like if you're going to shave, you might as well just shave the whole thing off, or you just got to do a minor trim. But what are we doing here? Yeah, what's going on here? All right, let's get to crunch time, shall we? We have a delay in the PGA Championship. We got a lightning delay, even though Andre Iguodala, for some reason, is on the stage right now. I don't know what the deal is with that.
Is he from St. Louis originally?
I have no clue.
Or is he there to help roll out TNT's NBA season-long schedule since there's a break in the action there with Ernie?
He could, and his teammate's playing in the web.com. You see that?
Yeah.
Steph's only like 8 shots back.
He had a 1-over in the first round,
okay.
So he's...
He's hanging
flirting.
In there.
Flirting. I'll have to go check that out. He might be flirting with making the cut.
Flirting with making the cut.
At the
there you
LMA
go.
Classic at Stone Brae. Yeah. More on that tomorrow morning.
Hey,
Golf for the Northwest. Harold and I, 8 a.m.
Early on a Friday,
we'll
baby.
We'll break it all down.
Let's do it. Deflategate. It's back, baby. Are the Steelers cheating and trying to win preseason games? Crunch time next on The Fam. Hey, guess what, people? We are an hour away from Rebecca Black. 1 hour away. Spring the line coming up in the final hour as well. Got some hot takes coming in on armpit hair. Appreciated to the Better You Today text line. Let's get to crunch time.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 per month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership?
Hey, crunch time. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? Went yogging this morning.
No days off. No days off.
1.4 miles of vicious gauntlet of running. Out there grinding on a Friday.
That's like a 12-minute yog there, my friend.
Yeah, it's a nice easy yog. Oh, good.
That's barely warming up.
Oh yeah, you go longer jogs than that, Swigard.
When I used to run.
Okay, yeah, okay. When was that?
It's been a while.
It's been a while? Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, when I used to run, that's a long time ago. I used to run like 12 and 15K road races.
That sounds awful. Why would you ever want to go that far? You get to over one. You're like, hey, it's good. I got my running fill in. All right,
I ran the Run Between the States for several years.
Yeah, that sounds
awful.
I
was running cross country.
Yeah, you got a runner's body, though. You're tall and
have a runner's body when I was 5'11", 155.
Exactly, yeah. Short and stocky doesn't necessarily translate well to long road races. Shin splints are firing up. I'm heaving. It's not pretty, you know. Nobody needs that. Nobody needs to see that stuff. Let's get to this. So preseason football was last night, and there were two controversies that came out of it, and I have held off on one because I'm just refusing to talk about it. The anthem thing is back again, if you're into that kind of thing.
No.
That's back. It's not going anywhere. So just buckle up because that's going to be a story all season long. President's tweeting about it. It's a whole thing, man. But the other one is, this one is actually kind of funny to me. Like, if you were to talk about the two biggest controversies in the NFL that just drive people nuts over the last 5 to 10 years, yeah, you have kneeling during the national anthem and the whole debacle around it, and you have Tom Brady deflating footballs. Like, that's it. Those are your peak. Like, did he do it? Did he not do it? I'm tired of this story. Well, guess what's back, folks? Deflategate. The NFL issued a statement, and they are looking into a football used by the Steelers last night against the Eagles. Apparently, in the third quarter, the football looked like a marshmallow on the Steelers' sideline. The NFL Vice President of Football Communications released a statement. He said all footballs were in compliance with the NFL rules following the pregame inspection, and all proper procedures were followed. In the third quarter, a football that was found to be defective was removed from play and sent back to Wilson for review. Guess what, folks? Deflategate's back, preseason style.
I mean, defective.
He said it looked like a marshmallow.
So did the bladder inside break or something?
Did
or
poke a hole in that thing?
Or did somebody, were they trying to pull a quick one over there on the Steelers sidelines and something came out of the locker room at halftime that wasn't there to start the game?
And Landry Jones is just, he enjoys throwing deflated footballs more than full-size footballs. How does the NFL let this turn into a thing? Like, just say there's no investigation. Like, this is just, hey, oh, yeah, one of the footballs kind of screwed up. There's no investigation. The Steelers clearly were not trying to cheat and win a preseason game. Can we all at least agree on that? Like, this is not an AFC title game. There's no gained advantage for Landry Jones in the third quarter against the Eagles. Did they win or lose last night? Did anybody know what's the final score of that game?
The Steelers hammered the Eagles.
Okay, so they won big. So I don't think they needed a deflated football to push their lead a little bit in the third quarter. This is one of those nights when you see preseason action, I'm all jacked up about talking about rookies and stuff. And then I see the two top headlines on like Pro Football Talk this morning, or Donald Trump tweets about the anthem issue and the Steelers used a defective football. It's like, oh, God. Buckle up, folks. Yeah, used a football. It's like a marshmallow last night. So it sounds like, encouragingly, this is not going to be like a whole Ted Wells report, and we're not going to get into all that thing again. But just one of those things that you got to keep your eye on. Steelers potentially cheating in preseason football last night. Welcome back, football. Welcome back. Can they ever do something without getting out of their own way? I mean, it's never going to hurt them. Like, people are always going to watch. A handful of people turn it off.
I think of all the front offices of the big major professional sports leagues, the NCAA is in a whole nother class.
right.
But that's because they're not in control to run everything. They're just there to monitor. They have all the responsibility and no power whatsoever. I do feel for the NCAA in a certain respect, where they're supposed to, you know, be the police, but they have no power and no funding because the schools and the conferences just skim all the money off the top. And yeah. But the NFL, I think, might be the, if you looked at confidence and leadership of the Big Four, I think the NFL might be at the bottom of that.
Yeah, they got to be, right?
Bettman, who nobody in hockey likes, but the NHL,
they've at least done the right thing recently.
They have they run a pretty tight ship, and they're as transparent, I think they are, of the Big Four you know, when they try to crack down on player discipline, they're trying to get hits to the head out. They're trying to get, you know, trying to keep guys' sticks on the ice. And they have a player review, and there's anytime there's a big major suspension, there's a video that comes out with it explaining what they saw in it, and boom, there you go. And it takes away a lot of the rhetoric and the discussion and the buffoonery that goes on because of Roger Goodell talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah. Did you see, by the way, that there wasn't we saw our first ejection last night in the Seahawks game?
Yeah, and I got to think, one, it was towards the end of the game, and
Shamarco Thomas, what a name that is.
I was actually watching at that point when it happened.
Shamarco.
And I got to say, if you know, that's the only ejection, I don't, there wasn't a lot of, one, it was at the end of a preseason game, but two, he launched himself, he was airborne.
Yeah, it looked like a nasty hit.
And it was a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Yeah.
There's not much you can, if that is the standard and say that is an ejection, I can live with that.
There was another one, maybe in the Redskins game, there was another one that was kind of controversial. It wasn't an ejection, but a 15-yard flag.
Now, there's some penalties where I've been like, what's the guy supposed to do?
Right. Yeah, there was one that was similar. Remember the one in the Hall of Fame game in the end zone that got the 15-yard flag? There was one similar to that last night that people were scratching their heads because there was no bad intent, no helmet hit.
I will say there were a couple when I saw him live action because of the angle of you know, it was the wide angle, you know, of the live action play where I was like, whoa, I don't. And then when you got the replay on the angle directly there, you saw the helmet come up into the face mask and you're like, oh, okay. So, you know, I haven't seen anything where the refs just made something up. They were told to throw flags at anything that looked close because they want to get all these things on tape.
And it wasn't an egregious number of flags last night. The numbers were in on that. It wasn't like it was.
It got
a crazy
ugly late
amount
when all the backups were in, but that's what happens in preseason.
Yeah. One thought on this, the Better You Today text line 55305. I'm more concerned about the fact we're going to see more torn ACLs, knee injuries, because the players are not going to want to hit high. They're all going to want to hit low now. Yeah, and you have seen that. I mean, since the NFL's gotten stricter with this, you've seen more torn ACLs.
And you've seen that. You've heard receivers and running backs talking about that since they started to really crack down.
Some former players have even said they'd rather have a concussion than a torn ACL. Now, granted, that's short-sighted and not long-sighted, but in terms of them getting back healthy and playing, ACLs
are done.
In
terms of their ability to make money in the short time of their careers,
that's much better to have a concussion.
They would rather, you know, deal with the consequences after the fact than, you know, if you're going to sacrifice your body, you want to obviously make as much money as you can in the time that it works for you.
Yep. So we saw our first ejection last night. Shamarco Thomas, what a great name that is. Colt safety was in the Seahawks game. He got the heave-ho from the ball game. And then Deflategate's back. Steelers used a deflated football. Looked like a marshmallow, they said. So we'll see if the Steelers, we'll see if Ben Roethlisberger gets suspended for 4 games from this. Does he delete his text messages?
Did he even play last night?
I don't know. I didn't know if he played or not. So there you go. A couple more NFL preseason storylines for you. Hey, lots to get to in the final hour of the show. We will Sprague the line at 2:30, even though Sprague is not here. So get your fixed sponsors into 55305. We'll read them. We'll actually have a chance at winning some money because his bets won't be on the show. So we'll bring the heat. Was a couple of gambling picks. We'll do it at 2:30. What else do we got coming up in the final hour? We'll give you the thoughts on the Blazers schedule. We've had a chance to look at it, so we'll mention that for you. I have some jealousy going on right now that I need to bring up because a couple of people in my life are doing something that I'm pissed that I don't get the chance to do. And I want to start, though, with we finally have an answer to the Felix Hernandez situation. Where is he going? How did he handle it? We'll talk a little bit about that. Start the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.